I just find out that I have a bunch of like nudes out there and like dick pics, and I'm like, I didn't know that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 89 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend Morgan Richards, aka the rapper Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. This is episode 89, and this installment is going to make you put on those skinny jeans, double up on the eyeliner, and grow your hair over your eyes, because emo's not dead.
Nice. I like that you didn't use a lyric. I'm glad, to be honest, that you haven't. He hasn't got his own lyrics out for this stuff just yet. But yes, this week's guest is the fantastic Matt Cutchell.
Yes. What a online personality, sensation, and honour to have on this week's podcast. I'm so excited about this.
Yes. Former Vine star, now social media star, actor, former frontman of a band, which we get into, talk a bit about that. And lately, he's gone viral with his Emo's Not Dead series.
Yeah, he's a man who's got a huge resume, but just for anyone who's not aware, of course, Matt is a massive online personality. As Sean said, he's been doing this kind of stuff for years on all different platforms, from Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, you name it. He creates funny and relatable videos online under many characters with a host of his friends and his fiance, Ariel Vanderberg. But about 18 months ago or so, he created a new persona that's turned into a whole sensation and brand in Emo's Not Dead. And Sean and I have been laughing out loud ever since.
Yes, we have. The Emo's Not Dead video are a kind of funny look back at how we all loved that music and still love that music, and that's what we touch on in the interview. You know, we all have those moments where a song comes on that we've heard from like our past, and we're like, Jesus Christ, it's a time to shine! That's exactly what it is, and he's nailed it with his sketches, and they're hilarious, and brilliant. Fair play to him. Well done, Matt.
Yeah, it's become such a hit in the alternative scene. He's collaborated with a host of bands, including The Used, Hawthorne Heights, Plain White Tees, and Matt is joining us today to talk all about it, how it started, what's next, his previous life as a signed musician, and just taking the brand into coffee, merchandise, all these crazy things, as well as how social media has affected his mental health and advice for young creators in the game today.
Yes. One other thing, he's also played Slam Dunk once with his band, but we get into that later in the interview. I just wanted to throw that in, because loads of people will know who he is, and then be like, what? He played Slam Dunk? What, he's been in Leeds? The poor bastard's been in Leeds. Yeah.
There's loads of surprises. I'm so happy. This one's going to be a really, really great installment. But if you're listening to Sapnin Podcast for the first time, well, Sapnin, hello. How are you?
Sapnin!
There's loads of previous episodes, 88 to be exact, with some of your favourite emo bands of all time. We've talked to the likes of Taken Back Sunday, The Used, Dance Gavin Dance, Thursday, Frank Iero. I mean, the list is endless. You can check it out and remember to go back and listen to all those previous emo episodes of Sapnin Podcast when you're done with this. Tell your friends and give us a like and follow on all our social media pages at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and the Instagram.
That sounded like you were trying to finish our sentence for about 2 minutes in. You know, like when we start talking and we're like, and that is it. You were like, yes, check us out on at Sapnin Pod. That's at SAPPENINPOD on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, if you've liked this episode, or if you enjoy this episode, or you've enjoyed any of the others, please think about supporting the podcast at patreon.com/sapnin, because every little helps us carry on doing this. So yes, thank you very much to anybody who's already a Patreon. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes, if you're a massive emo like us who love to sing Cute Without the E to ourselves in the mirror and trying to do both vocal parts, why not join our community full of emos and goths? Don't forget the goths at our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin. Lovely community, lovely people, and we'd love you to come and get involved.
Yes, do that. What do we do now? Should we get on with the episode?
I think in pure emo style, we... I don't know where I'm going with this. Yes, let's just...
Take it away!
Sapnin!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sapnin! Yes! Yes! Full house. Yes, this week's guest is internet personality, comedian, actor, frontman, and now very, very soon getting into the coffee business. And as the majority of people listen to this podcast are, he is also one of us and he is a massive emo. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is Matt Cutchell.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys. I am rock hard right now.
People can't see this because it's an audio podcast, but luckily we can see that.
You guys can see it, and I just want them to know that.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
It's very impressive. Yeah. Very, very impressive.
Thank you.
I was going to say the pleasure's all ours, but now...
Obviously, we can see that you're enjoying it as much as we are.
I'm enjoying this too, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, but how are you doing anyway? How's things? I'm sure it's being a very crazy time for you in this weird pandemic world.
Yeah, you know, things are okay. To be completely honest, you know, I am fortunate to be in Los Angeles and have a, you know, fairly good sized home. So it's not that horrible. I have friends who are in New York City in tiny, tiny apartments and, you know, obviously living on top of other people, and they just don't go out much. They don't get to do much. And I just feel a little bit more, you know, fortunate that I do live in LA during this time. But it is strange though. I miss the real world. I miss going to bars and restaurants, but it is what it is. Where are you guys at? I didn't ask you that yet.
UK. Well, Wales in the UK.
Someone else is, you said someone's in Wales and someone's in the UK.
Oh, no, same thing. Wales, just Wales next. We're both Welsh.
Yeah.
Wait, wait. Yeah. I thought that whales, this is going to be a little bit of history here, okay? When I toured my band, my old band, we went to Wales, but the people from Wales, they didn't like people from where? Because I made the mistake.
England.
Oh, God, that's what it was. Okay. I made a mistake thinking that we were in England and they got so pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like me coming on stage in LA and going, "Yes, hello Mexico." That's like coming on stage in Canada going, "Hello America."
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty much the worst thing you could do in Wales. Well,
I did the possible worst thing you can do. So my apologies to all. Wait, are you guys would be called Wellians?
Welsh.
Okay, got it.
I'll take it.
I've officially lost all your audience just now. They all just turn off the podcast like, screw this dude.
No, they love it. Yeah, what we found is a lot of the people who listen to this podcast love it when things when I get bullied or when things go wrong.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've accidentally had to go to Wales, I'm sure they'll be over the moon. They will be
okay,
chuffed.
Good. I like, by the way, too, I already like the vibe of you guys' podcast. I've gone on so many podcasts where it's just kind of very, it's by the book and more just, it's super conversational as they all are, but you guys are just fun. You're down for whatever. We can talk about, you know, me being rock hard on your podcast and it's just fun. It's so far, so good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Because, yeah, I was worried that we're just too much of a mess and we're all over the fucking place all the time. But, I appreciate that. That really means the world to
us. Man. Thanks a lot.
But yeah, you mentioned your former band, It Boys.
Yep.
When did you come over to the UK?
So I started that band in like 2007, and we started touring in the very end of 2008, maybe beginning of 2009, and we did our first tour was the US, and I think by like 2010, we went to the UK, and our album actually we were doing better in the UK for some reason. Like I guess what we were at the time being kind of like an emo pop band, it was kind of fading out in the States, but people still loved it in the UK. So we played like the Slam Dunk Music Festival out there, super fun. And so yeah, like that was probably 2010, but we went three different times. So I think probably twice in 2010 and maybe like once in 2011.
That's crazy.
Awesome.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it. I loved being there.
Yeah. But Matt, yeah, as we've mentioned, I mean, you have a CV full of many different things you've done in the past, from creating videos on all these different social media sites to being in the band, to acting, to pretty much everything. But we've got to talk about Emo's Not Dead. That has been a huge sensation in the rock community and online, everything over the past 18 months. How did that all first come about? Did you expect it to hit off as much as it did and do so many follow-up videos and create it as a brand in many ways now?
Honestly, no. I mean, the short answer is no, I didn't expect that. I do social media comedy videos. That's what I do for a living. So, but it's never one character. It's just like me and my now fiance doing funny skits, or me and my group of friends doing like dumb funny videos. But being that I loved emo music, I just had an idea that I wanted to do a video where I sat in a car and my girlfriend at the time, she's now my fiance, but my fiance was going to try to get in the car and I would be in this emo wig. And I think the first one was to maybe I Miss You by Blink-182. And I didn't know what to expect. I just kind of posted it and it did extremely well on Instagram, which is great. But like videos don't really have the algorithm to go viral on Instagram. Usually that's a YouTube thing or a Facebook thing, right? So I posted that same video to Facebook and I just kind of like clicked post, closed my laptop, went about my day. And then the next day I checked on it and it had like 200,000 views. And I was not getting those views back then. Like I probably, when I first started posting Emo's Not Dead, like a year and 8 months ago on Facebook, I had probably 53,000 followers. Now I have like close to 800,000 because of Emo's Not Dead. And, And so, yeah, I checked it and I was like, 200,000 views. Like, this should have 10,000 views. What's going on here? And then I checked and it had a shit ton of comments, like thousands of comments. I was so confused. And I was like, something happened here. It's a weird glitch. I actually got a hold of someone that I knew at Facebook. And I was like, hey, just wondering, did you guys boost this video or anything? And then he looked into it. He's like, no, I think you just have a viral video. So then I told my my fiance, Ariel, who's in my videos with me. I was like, hey, I kind of want to shoot another one and just see what happens. We shot the second one. We posted it. It went viral. I was legit mind blown because I've had a few viral videos in like my career of doing social media, but never like that quick, like emo video one viral, emo video two viral. So then, long story short, I now have like 16 of the videos out. I posted one this morning and it's going viral. So like it made me believe that there's this, you know, community of guys like us who still love the scene. We love that music. We love, you know, what it's about. And so, yeah, I just kind of, it just, you know, once I realized like people loved it, I was like, I can't let my emo community down. I'm going to carry the flag and I'm going to keep on putting out fresh content. So that's what I've been doing.
Nice. No, I love it. It's fucking, it's so fun. It's so funny. It's genius. And I think in, I'm going to say our scene, I think, yeah, it works better than it would at maybe any others. Because I think a lot of other ones are just too serious and take themselves too serious. But looking back on how we all used to look back then as well, like, it's hilarious. Just, and the fact that we can...
Dude,
yeah, we can just
dude
100% take it over with a pinch of salt.
No, like I was thinking, like it's so funny because like we do love the music. Like we're not making fun of the music, but it's fun to like look back at how we dressed. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when I look back at my band, and every single one of us had the swoop hair and like wore the spray paint tight jeans. Like that was such a look, but it was super cool back then. So, you know, as much as I still absolutely love the music, it's fun for my character to kind of be this guy from the early 2000s.
Yeah. What I love about it particularly as well is just how kind of like spot on it is in terms of that kind of awkwardness at times. Well, I mean, I think we've all had moments where we've been home pretending to be Bert from The Used and then someone's catching us and we're like, oh, you know, it just seems to capture that emo mentality completely.
Oh, totally. I mean, listen, dude, I don't know how many times I've practiced my emo stuff in the mirror where I literally was like, God, like these guys like take Adam from Taking Back Sunday and Bert from The Used, like these guys just have such crazy and awesome stage presence. And obviously, you know, Gerard Way as well from My Chem, but like these guys are amazing on stage. And in a weird way, it's like, God, I wish I could get away with that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they do super like flamboyant moves on stage. And you're like, God, I wish I could do that and people wouldn't think that I'm an idiot, you know?
Nice. Yeah, outstanding. And a lot of the videos as well, you've had some like guest appearances from a host of really pioneers of that emo scene in Hawthorne Heights, The Used, Plain White Tees, and it's just a massive collection. How has it been seeing other artists react to these videos, wanting to get involved? I mean, how has that connection been between the two sides?
Well, to be honest, like a lot of these guys started following me. So I would randomly get like messages or DMs from my fans saying, oh, my God, like, you know, so and so from The Used commented on your post. Pierre from Simple Plan is following you and just commented. So like I just started hearing from my fans and then I just started looking into it. And all these people like, you know, Mark Hoppus and Dashboard Confessional and I'm blanking on his name. The Other Way from My Chemical Romance. Why am I blocking on his name?
Mikey
Way. And like all these guys started following me and I just started noticing. And I was like, well, if these guys have discovered me from my Emo's Not Dead series, I should just reach out and see if they want to be involved. So I started reaching out to these guys and they were stoked. Like the first guys that I think I worked with were Hawthorne Heights. And I DM'd Hawthorne Heights and I was like, hey, would you guys be down to collab in my next Emo's Not Dead video? And they just wrote back like, I'd be honored. And I was like, hell yeah. So, you know, it just started, you know, I just started DMing these guys who I knew followed me, and they're all so on board, and they all love it, which is great, because my biggest concern was I don't want anyone to think that I'm making fun of that music. I'm obsessed with it. I used to be that guy, and it's essentially me, you know, time traveling back to early 2000s, but I get to live it out right now on social media, which didn't exist back then. So it's I'm very fortunate that these guys are on board and excited to do this.
Have you had any like friction from bands, or has anybody said don't use our song or anything, you know?
No, like, you know what, I haven't yet. Not by the bands themselves. What I do, I can't stand, like, I just posted a video today. It's My Chemical Romance, I'm Not Okay. I just did that video. I uploaded it at 10, like literally like an hour ago, and it gets copyright claim. So what happens is I'll get pinged for a copyright claim, and it'll say your video will be muted in these territories, and it'll name all these countries that it's muted in. And I'm like, listen, like, I'm not making money from posting that on Facebook. I don't get ad royalties. I don't make money from the song. They do, actually. If they can claim the song, and they can get money from the views. So it kind of bums me out. So I've actually been fortunate, you know, I have some connections in the music industry, so I'll like reach out to labels and say, hey, I just posted a video with The Used. It has millions, it's getting millions of views. Can you just release it to the other countries? And usually they'll say okay and do that. But when it comes to the bands themselves, like, they love it.
Oh no, yeah, like I said, I think you've picked the perfect genre, because none of us are too serious about ourselves at all, whereas I think, like, if you did it with like metal, you'd have metal purists like, don't you dare make fun of us, oh Satan. Yeah. and then yeah. But yeah.
All right. I'd be quite interested to know, when did you first get like introduced to emo music? Was there a particular story or anything how you really got introduced to the scene?
So I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and two of my best friends were these guys, Judah and his brother Duck, and they were always, I'm not kidding, they were way ahead of the game. When the scene first happened, they were on it like that. Like, do you guys remember From First to Last?
Yeah.
Like, they were kind of pioneers, like-ish, of that scene, right? They were some of the first guys to go, like, to do the whole emo scene. And Judah and Duck, they had a band called Reclaim the Fallen, and they had a cult following in Portland, Oregon. I would go to all their shows, and I was a very like normal preppy dude. Like, I would wear like, you know, like, I don't know if you guys know the brand Hollister, but I would wear like Hollister t-shirts. Yeah. And like, I was just like a normal preppy dude from Oregon, and I would go to their shows, and I loved it. I loved the energy. I loved the crowd. I loved the fans. I just loved what it was, and that's what got me into the music. And I think the first band that I really got into was Taking Back Sunday. So Taking Back Sunday was kind of my intro into the emo scene, and then I discovered everybody else, you know, from The Used and on, and I just loved it. I absolutely loved it from there.
Have you reached out to anyone from First to Last, or anybody like that?
Well, I just DM'd Sonny. The dude's probably got, let me see, it's Skrillex now, so we know how big he is. He has 9 million followers. I don't think he's going to see my message, but I did DM him. But I think that I might have to go the route of having like management sort of reach out to their managers and see what's good.
Or you could go via us. I could go to the guitarist and then get him to message Sonny to check his DMs. I'll do that after this.
Thank you.
Let me write it down.
If you can make that happen, if Sonny will read, if even if he reads the DM and it says scene, I'm excited.
Yeah, you could change that to scene, as in S-C-E-N-E. Oh,
genius. That, honestly,
use that in a video.
Instagram should honestly change it, that if you actually used to be a band guy, it changes it to just scene for all of us. Weird little thing to add, but why not?
You're on to something here.
Message.
but with that as well, I mean, I'm sure you've had loads of plans for other collaborations. Has anything been had to put on hold or anything with COVID or anything like that? Or is there more features in the works?
There are features in the works. I've chatted with Dashboard Confessional. They're excited to collab on a video. I've chatted with Ryan Key from Yellow Card. He's a buddy of mine, and he's not living in LA at the moment, but I might go where he is and shoot a video. So he's excited about it. And I also have something in the works with Simple Plan. So
awesome.
I got a lot of the pop emo covered, but I definitely want to do something. I want to do something a little bit more screamo soon. I feel like I did one video to Asking Alexandria, just for like when I was promoting my coffee. But I love doing those kind of like more hardcore and screamo stuff. So that's where From First to Last comes in.
Right. Nice. Yeah, I'm on it now. That's my mission now.
But that's the thing I think with emo as well. I mean, the community kind of stretches on to a lot of different bands. That even though if maybe you feel like you've done a lot of those key acts, you can still go off to all those kind of subgenres and things that go off in there. It's a really open community in many sense.
Yeah, that's true. Like I've had some. There's plenty of bands that I still want to work with. I've had some Twitter dialogue with Under Oath because I did a video using their song. It wasn't technically a Felt Emo Might Delete video. It was like, I called it like, have you guys heard the new Lion King? And then I turned into the emo guy and I'm listening to the music in my car. But they loved it. They reposted it on Twitter and I started DMing with them. So there's a lot of bands that I want to work with. But I think what I'm most excited about and what I'm working on now is I've done 16 videos. They have, you know, over 110 million views online. So people clearly love them, but I want to give these people more. I don't want to continue to just, feature bands in like a short comedy skit. I'd like to turn this into sort of a mini series where we can have 5 to 10 minute episodes. So my next step, I've chatted with my team already and I'm looking to get a production company and label on board. And I want to make a full-on Emo's Not Dead series and kind of continue to carry that emo flag.
Nice.
Amazing.
As you were saying now then, I was just like, oh, you've got a spin-off festival as well. Like you could easily do like an Emo's Not Dead festival. You could even go in front a band where you go and play all those songs as well. Dude, there's so many options.
Honestly, I literally have everything covered from me doing my own band and my own album. I've already recorded two songs under my new artist name. I can't tell you guys what that is yet. I've already talked to a couple people about doing Emo's Not Dead Music Festival in addition to the show. So like, I just think the brand is so fun and I'm passionate about it, which makes it even that more exciting to do as much as I can. You know, like if this was something that I wasn't excited about, I'd just be like, yeah, let's just keep doing some videos because they do well. But I love it. Every single time I post a video, I'm obsessed with seeing how many people like it and comment and my interaction with the fans. I love it. And I want to give the fans more because no one's really servicing that community right now, you know? At least not with comedy content.
And yeah, there seems to be a major kind of, well, it's come around again. I think it's as big now as it maybe ever was. So, and yeah, we're seeing so many reformation of old bands and stuff. So, yeah, it's awesome. It's a very exciting time for the emo again.
It really is. I'm happy that I'm helping to push people to actually bring it back and resurrect it from the dead. Because emo's not dead. We know that.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of all these exciting things going on with the brand as well, one thing I wanted to talk about is that, you know, when you're young and discovering emo, you get obsessed with energy drinks, I like to find. You know, that's kind of the phase. But as you grow older, a lot of people have gone into coffee, which you have as well, with Emo's Not Dead Coffee, your own screamo blend. Like, how did that transition come about? Was it just a natural thing of everyone growing older?
Well, there's a couple of things. Yes. And very smart to think of that is yes. Like our demographic is now our age. We're coffee drinkers. We're less Rockstar and less Red Bull before crushing Red Bull before a concert. And now we're coffee people. So I have always wanted to release a coffee that I love, that I genuinely want to drink every day. Cause I do drink mine every day. And, I remember thinking like, man, like I always get DMs from fans that suggest merch ideas. You should make pop sockets. You should make Emo's Not Dead masks and this and that. And I just don't want to do necessarily another thing that everybody's doing. And I was like, I should do Emo's Not Dead coffee because no one would expect that. That's the weirdest piece of merch you can think of coming from an emo guy is putting out coffee. So then I was like, all right, cool. So I'm going to come out with a coffee. Maybe I'll plan to do 3 to 4 different blends. And that's when I decided, I was like, I'm just going to open with the Screamo blend. And I actually went through the process of testing. I tried 10 different luxury bags of coffee. The first 9 were like close, but not right. And then the 10th bag that I tried, I was like, that is the coffee. And then I decided to put it out there. So I just wanted to do something different. And that's honestly the story is I love coffee. I'm passionate about it. And I want to do something different. So why not do Emo's Not Dead coffee for part of the merch?
Yeah, spot on. As I said, I think like, as you mentioned, a lot of people who are a bit older in the scene now are fed up of empty drinks and the mosh pits. It's more, I want to stand next to the sound desk, have a nice coffee and just nod my head slightly. So
totally.
But with the different blends as well, I mean, you know, obviously you can go off with so many different ideas of that. Is there any you can share with us right now with different names and things to go along with it?
Yeah, we got the Skinny Jean blend. That's going to be coming out soon. I think we got the Guyliner blend, and then and then we have the Mosh Pit blend. So those are the 4 that we have so far. But yeah, so we started with Screamo. We put it out close to a month ago now. And honestly, the feedback is incredible. People do love it. And it's funny because it kind of starts as like a funny gift to get your friend. Do you know what I'm saying? Or your boyfriend or girlfriend is like, oh my God, I got you some Emo's Not Dead coffee. It starts off as like a one-time buy to be funny, but it legit is so good that people rebuy it. And I was like, I just want to make sure, like, I will never sell shit to people. I just won't do it. Like, I won't package my brand on shitty coffee just for sales. Like, I want to sell quality stuff people like. Even with my merch, when I put it out, I try multiple samples and I try different fabrics and I make sure it's something that I actually want to wear or my fiance wants to wear before I put it out. So I'm excited that people love it. Like, it started off as like, haha, this will be funny. And then I was like, I'm going to actually make sure it's good, and now it's out there. Now the world's enjoying it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, well, I'm so excited to see what comes next with the brand as well. But earlier on, we touched on your old band, It Boys. But I did want to bring it back up because I noticed quite recently you saw that the band was getting a lot of attention on Spotify, even on TikTok. There was like a whole thread of people like miming to your songs and everything like that. I mean, how's that been, kind of discovering that even though you haven't been a band for 10 years, people are still checking it out, seeing it, and there's still like that kind of connection there?
Yeah, you know what's weird is I like to look into everything, and I had zero clue what was going on. One day, I'm going to say maybe this is 6 months ago, I was like, I'm going to see what's going on with It Boys music. Is anyone still listening? Maybe there's 10,000 people per month listening. And I went to the Spotify, and this was a few months ago, and we had like 80,000 something monthly listeners, and we hadn't put out new music, I mean, in years, eight years, 9 years, something-ish around there. And I was like, what is going on? And then I just kind of like let it go. And then I checked back again, and it was like at 95,000 streams per month. And now it's like 100 something thousand streams per month. And it just wasn't adding up. And then one day I get a text from my friend Elisa, who's from Portland, Oregon. And she goes, I can't believe she went to my It Boys shows back in the day. Like, she's one of my homegirls who would support the band, right? And she goes, you won't believe this, but I got in my car and my daughter was playing your song Guys Don't Like Me on her phone. And I stopped her and I was like, are you listening to It Boys? And she goes, yeah, I'm listening to Guys Don't Like Me. And she says, how do you know this song? And the little girl says, oh, I play a game called Gotcha Life, and their song is really popular on there. So apparently there's a anime, to be honest, I don't quite understand how this is a game, but if there's an anime game that people play where they choose anime characters that like have conversations to different songs, and Guys Don't Like Me became a very popular internet song for that. So, and apparently it's, you know, it's pretty big amongst that community, and one of them found Guys Don't Like Me and then did it for like an anime video, and then now there's like hundreds of anime videos with that song.
Wow. That's crazy though, because like I thought like the resurgence of It Boys would be, you know, like off the back of your videos doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, for them to find it from like another like virally thing, that's weird.
No, honestly, dude, I'm mind blown, because my first thought was that I was like, did people Google me from Emo's Not Dead and say, is Matt Cutchell really in a band? And then they could have found it there, you know, like, but no, like it's from someone random putting the song on a game called Gotcha Life, which now, like, I mean, and it's been months now. It's like the trend hasn't really died, because our plays are still pretty strong, which is kind of mind blowing. I should probably do an It Boys reunion. Yeah, we're at 141,000 monthly listeners now, which is mind-blowing to me. And the song Guys Don't Like Me has over 10 million streams, which, it, you know, when we first put our music on Spotify, I'm going to say maybe it had a few hundred thousand. So it kind of had a mini blow-up on its own, which is very shocking.
Yeah, that's so strange that that they just find it.
You guys, you I was going to say, you got to, it's really funny. You should Google it, or not, just YouTube it. YouTube, Guys Don't Like Me, Gotcha Life. It's G-A-C-H-A and then life. And you'll just see a bunch of videos. And I don't know how these people are enjoying. I don't know how this is a game or what they're doing. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
I'll have a look into that. I'll see if I can send any of my old band stuff over and see if they can
you should
make me go viral.
I gotta look up your old band. What was the name again?
Oh God, The Blackout.
Wait a second. Did you guys play Slam Dunk Music Festival?
Yeah, we have a couple of times. Yeah, but
yeah, The Blackout, dude.
If it helps, look, I got it. Here's my head, look.
Is that you?
That's me there.
Bro! Yes!
I'm king of it. I was the king of it.
Bro, hey, hold that up. I'm taking a picture with my phone. This is. Hang on a second. This is amazing.
Just so everyone knows, Sean's just brought out an old cover of Kerrang, which The Blackout were on. So.
Hey!
Oh, hey, here we go. Hang on. This is hilarious. Yeah, 3, 2, bro. That
it is.
That is good. Yeah. So wait a second.
Yeah.
You guys played Slam Dunk Music Festival. I feel like you did it the same year that we did.
Let's find out. If only we had the. Oh no, we do. The Blackout. It's what? Boys. How did we cross paths?
Well, what year did you guys play? Probably a few years.
Yeah, we've done it a couple of times.
The Blackout, Slam Dunk.
Blackout, Slam Dunk. Look at us. Both Googling my band. I love it. 2012.
There's a good chance that we did either 11 or 12. And here's how I know, because Tommy, who was our bassist, he knew every band in the scene, every band. And I knew a lot of the American bands, like bands like Bullet for My Valentine, I wasn't quite familiar with until my friends introduced me, you know. But like Tommy listened to The Blackout, and then I discovered you guys with him. I'm either when we were on tour in the UK or when we were at Slam Dunk Music Festival.
That's crazy.
Bro, if we played Slam Dunk together, that's good. That's genius.
I'm looking now. Slam Dunk, what's this? Oh, I don't know.
I'll look it up. I'll do some research, and I'll send you an email or text and let you know. That's so funny, dude.
Yeah, it's funny how things like this could work out. I mean, like, you know, you've probably met in your previous lives.
literally our previous lives, we did.
Yeah. Our previous haircuts.
Damn.
Our previous helmets of hair met. Yeah, I did a 2009 Warp tour as well, which was fantastic to come over there. So yeah, that was nice. And yeah, have you ever thought about doing like an Emo's Not Dead video with like spin-offs of like the emo scene back then? So like maybe do like a Broken Side one where you get Broken Side involved, and you could be like, oh wait, this is wrong, or you know, well, something like.
It's funny. So did you know that we toured with them for like our second tour ever? No joke. So,
I didn't.
Yeah. So when we, dude, I'm not kidding, bro. Like I had some very interesting first tours, because you kind of have to take what you can get. You gotta go on a tour a band who has a following. And oddly enough, I wasn't a fan of their music, but the guys were all really nice to us. Really, they were legitimately, I don't know if you've met them, like I expected something so different because they're so wild and they just want to get crunk and get met. Like I expected something so different, and when we joined their tour, I was like dreading it. I was like, oh no, I was like, we're going to go on tour with Broken Side. But you know, like it is what it is, because we weren't like crazy party guys. We were business guys. We like wanted our band to succeed, and we didn't want to be attached to a band who just wanted to like party and bang chicks. It just wasn't our thing. But when we met the guys, they were the sweetest guys ever. I was so mild. I was like, these guys are actually really nice. So we actually had a really fun tour with them. We actually really enjoyed it. And our first tour ever was with Jeffree Star.
Oh wow!
Our first tour ever, Jeffree Star knew Tommy, our bassist, and it was like, I think it may have been like a $10,000 buy-on that our, I don't think we had a label then. I think we just had like scrapped up the money together and did a buy-on to his tour. And our first tour was with Jeffree Star, and interesting
yeah,
tour.
I can imagine.
Was Daniel on that one? Do you know Daniel? He was part of Jeffree's. Well, I say band. They just used to scream together.
Yeah. So
him and Jeffree. Yeah, just wondering if you'd met Daniel with him as well.
At the time, Jeffree didn't have a drummer for some reason, or his drummer quit like 3 days in, something like that. And so our drummer Duck played for Jeffree and for us on pretty much that whole tour. But I forgot the guy's name, but we knew his whole band. We were friends with his whole band. There's a guitarist named Phil that I do know, Phil. And then maybe he said Daniel.
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't know if he was like in the band, like he just seemed to
He would hang out and scream. Hype man. Yes, totally. Yeah, I think I know who that is.
Yeah, screamy camp hype man he was.
Totally.
which ended up doing in the blackout, I suppose. for anybody listening. Who would be the dream guest for Emo's Not Dead? Like, who would be the one? Is it like Jared Way? Would you...
You know what? So, I have a couple. I really want to feature Taking Back Sunday. So Adam in a video would be huge. I think my audience would really freak out for Gerard Way for sure. The truth is, I don't know if comedy emo is something Gerard would be into. I don't know the guy. He's kind of a mysterious guy, I think.
Yeah.
At least for me. Like, I'm not friends with him. I don't know him. But, like, from the outside, I can't quite tell if he even likes comedy at all. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. So,
I reckon he'd love it. I think he'd love it.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Mikey Mikey's into it. Mikey's into it. He can surely give the brother a nudge.
That's true.
Well, I was going to suggest, I think, like, maybe Frank Iero or Mikey Way from the band would probably be, like, the ones I imagine who would definitely be up for doing something. I mean, Frank Iero is a really funny guy. I think something between the two of you would be a hit.
I mean, yeah, maybe I can get Mikey and Frank in the video, and they can nudge for Gerard. If not, people would still love that. So, yes, I mean, a MyChem feature at all would be huge. I eventually do want to do a Blink 182 video. So like, I mean, any of those guys from Blink, they were all standalone, just iconic dudes. And I feel like, you know, a Travis Barker or Mark Hoppus feature could be huge. So yeah, I guess, We'll see. I'll keep reaching out to these guys and see who's next.
Yeah. Nice, what you could do is do a video where you find a very sad Tom DeLonge, and then you cheer him up, and then an alien appears.
Yes.
And then that's it. And then cut you off at an alien.
I'm into that. Tom DeLonge. Hey, what is Tom DeLonge doing right now? Is he in
to the Stars Academy? So he's doing Angels and Airwaves, the other band. But yeah, he's basically running this thing called To the Stars Academy, which is looking into UFOs and how to reverse engineer UFOs, so we can use their technology.
I love it.
Which is very kind of him. So thanks, Tom.
I'm down
with that. I know he listens every week. So cheers, Tom, for looking out for us.
All right, I'm gonna DM Tom today, because
yes.
I want him to at least say, "Where are you? And I'm so sorry," in one of my videos.
Yeah. Or he's gonna mispronounce the word head.
Oh.
Yed.
Yeah.
Voice inside my yed. What's a yed?
Voice inside my yed.
Yeah, you've got to, yeah, either that one, yeah, or where are you? Yeah, you could be lost in the dark, and all of a sudden, Tom DeLonge, where are you?
I'm obsessed with that. I'm 100% DMing him. I gotta get him. I mean, listen, all the Blink guys, they made their career off comedy videos. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, one of them has to do it.
Yeah, you couldn't message them and be like, "Hey guys, do you fancy doing this?" And then they come back and be like, "Oh no, we're a serious band." And you'd be like, "Yeah, but I did write the song, I Wanna Fuck a Dog in the Asshole, didn't you?"
Yeah.
So come on, guys. Come on, man. Come on.
Oh my God. Could you imagine them just claiming to be a serious band?
But you never know. This is the thing with Tom now, with the UFOs and the aliens and stuff. Maybe he has gone a bit too serious, but fingers crossed.
He still posts a little bit of comedy now and again on the Twitter and Instagram and stuff. So I'm sure he'd be up for something.
Well, I'm DMing him right now with you guys on the line, just so you know.
Ooh.
Nice.
Okay, so you guys might be asking what?
Ask him if he wants to do the podcast.
Send him the Zoom link. Tell him to join. We can have the meeting right now.
I just, at the very bottom, I was like, "Also, can you podcast right now?" He just joins.
We'll sort out all the details right on this now. Just, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, I've met him before. Our bands tour together over here. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, just before we left, I think.
Damn. I was going to say, yeah, just to kind of flip the interview, what were some of the most epic bands that you toured with and you'd like,
oh,
you had
here
just
we
a,
go.
And you had an amazing tour?
Oh, he's got some great stories here.
My Chemical Romance took us on an arena tour in the UK.
Jeez.
They were absolutely amazing. One of the nicest bands we've ever met. Straight after that tour, we flew to Sydney to do a tour in Australia. And we got to our venue, we got to the first venue, and My Chemical Romance has sent two bottles of champagne to us, thanking us for being on the tour. And we'd never experienced anything like that. Yeah, you know, we didn't buy on. It was nothing, you know, there was nothing like that. They were absolutely lovely.
And you guys, and obviously by that time, if you were invited to play an arena tour, you guys had a huge following by then as well.
Yeah, we were doing okay at the time, yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah. Yeah, they were lovely to us. I got to tour and perform with my rock musical heroes, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a video of me singing my favorite Limp Bizkit song with Limp Bizkit on stage in Germany, and I'm basically doing a Fred Durst impression to Fred Durst the whole time.
That is awesome. Epic.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, there's loads of bands. We were very, very lucky. And yeah, we've been lucky enough to have a lot of the bands on as guests as well. So like Take It Back Sunday and stuff.
So what was your, I mean, we don't have to get into it and your audience probably knows, but like, did you guys, was the band days, was it just over for you and you decided like, I want to do a new chapter in my life? Like how'd
no.
your,
oh no.
Okay.
But basically he disappeared for like 4 or 5 years.
We started
it.
No, basically towards the end of the band, we did a happy album called Start the Party, which, you know, for an emo, is that's not what we want. Like, we don't want to know how good a time a band's having. We want to know how miserable you are and how much a girl has broken your heart.
Yep.
So, yeah, we wrote that album, and as much as we like it, it didn't really connect that much. And then after that, then we kind of realised that it was coming to an end, I guess, and the rest of the boys in the band kind of like had, well, they had kids and they got married or whatever, whereas I wanted to be a musical gypsy forever and just live on tour and just having a good time. But starting a new band now and putting a song out in September, hopefully. So that's an exclusive I've just given away while I've been interviewed on my own podcast.
Well, there it is, folks. You heard it first. Dude, that's awesome. So, I mean, obviously, let me shoot me an email or text when that comes out. I definitely want to check it out, because, and now I got to revisit The Blackout, because it's been a long time since I've listened to you guys. So I got
to listen. There's a song called Children of the Night or Save Ourselves are the bigger ones, which were probably the most emo. Well, Children of the Night. Is there anything more than I Am a Child of the Night running about?
No, that's as emo as it gets.
Thank you very much.
I do feel like Shut the Fuck Up should get a mention as well, though, Sean.
Okay. Thank you, Maud. Thanks, Maud, for the... But, yeah, check it out. I'm sorry that when you listen to it, that you're going to be disappointed. But, you know, we've all grown up and moved on slightly.
Yeah. So. No, I hear you.
Yeah, but Matt, what's some of your other experiences in the music industry? Because obviously It Boys had a whole album, you were involved with a record label, loads of tours, played festivals. I mean, what's some of the kind of fondest memories when you look back on? Or is there any little things that you think people, like music fans, don't really realize what it's like being in the band and being in that world?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, well, first of all, you know, you guys know more than anybody as well that the grind is real. Like it's far and few bands that actually have the overnight blow up. Like most bands that have that blow up, it's not an overnight thing. They've been grinding for years. They've put out albums that have flopped. They've gone on tours that have not done much for them. They've grown their fan base for like 10, like, it's just a lot of work. And like, but I will say, like, my most fond memories are those memories of not quite the successful memories, but like just grinding it out with your bandmates. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, your bandmates become your brothers. And I remember, like, maybe our like second tour, we bought our own van and trailer, and our van didn't have AC or heat, and it had a hole in the floorboard of the driver's side. And we toured in Canada in the dead of winter in our van, and I'm like, I kid you not, dude, like, to like our driver who was driving by where the hole was in the floorboard, where like 15 degree air was blowing in, had to put on a full-blown sleeping bag and wear a sleeping bag and drive with the sleeping bag like on. I'm not kidding. Like, he'd wear a sleeping bag and would drive like this. And then, you know, we didn't have money for hotels, so we would often just use our Twitter or social media and try to find fans along the way to like crash at their houses. And some people had like a small apartment, say, hey, like, I have a roommate and the roommate's only cool with like two or three of you guys. And so three of us would go get hot showers and the other three would sleep in the van, and it was freezing. Like, we'd bring a bottle of water from the venue. I'll never forget this. I brought a bottle of water from the venue, and I got in the van and I got in my sleeping bag and I was like, okay, I just got to ride this out. And then when I woke up in the middle of the night, I grabbed my water. It was frozen in my van. You know, like, we've gone through a lot of shit, but like, you know, then when we started becoming successful and going on bigger tours, it just makes you really appreciate what you've done and what you've accomplished. And I think hearing our song on the radio for the first time was like the biggest moment for us to be like, holy shit, like, our song, we got placed on Sirius Radio Hits 1. And we got played on there, our song Guys Don't Like Me, and so hearing that was huge. And then it started climbing like a countdown chart on Hits 1, which is awesome. And then Kiss FM started picking it up in different stations, so we would do flyout dates and play the regions that were playing our song. So getting that type of success was there's no sweeter victory. It was so fun. And I know you've experienced the same thing, is like, it's so grueling, and then finally when you see progress, there's just no greater joy.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, but with that as well, I mean, I know you've mentioned that kind of you know, you've already looked at different aspects of kind of getting into the music industry again with You Must Not Dead and a band of that kind of thing. But before that, have you ever thought about maybe getting back into the music world?
To be honest, I mean, yes, it's been a thought. I've definitely thought about it, but Emo Is Not Dead has definitely nudged me into making it a reality, because if I do come out with my personal record or personal album under the Emo Is Not Dead umbrella, there's an audience for it already, and I get to do music that I still love. So,
yeah,
you know, like, so I am very excited to go that route and put out that kind of music. But you know, so yeah, I had thought about it before, but I think Emo Is Not Dead is what's making it possibly a reality.
Awesome. Yeah. Be really good to hear. Yeah. Hopefully you can get something done very soon. I'd love to hear that. And, just a couple of other quick things, Matt. We mentioned, obviously, there's so many different things you've done in your career and different aspects, different worlds and whatnot. But I think it's safe to say the main thing you can kind of describe yourself as making fun content online. You and your fiancé have done that for years on different platforms, from Vine to Instagram, TikTok, pretty much everything. But I want to ask you, I mean, a lot of people struggle like mentally trying to deal with social media platforms and how their stuff gets reacted and likes and all that kind of thing. How do you find a healthy balance between doing it professionally but still kind of having that other side of your life and not worrying too much about what goes on, how many likes, what's posted and that? Like, how do you restructure everything and create a nice mindset for yourself?
Well, I will say, you know, I'm guilty of this. When I first started doing social media, getting likes is addicting, and having successful videos, it's addicting. And I had probably like a 3 year period when I was doing Vines that you'd get bummed if you shot a Vine and it didn't work out, and you'd have to delete it. And like, I think that at least for me, when I got older and realized that life wasn't just about other people liking you, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, I got to live for myself. I started not caring as much. And now if I think a video is funny, I post it. If it doesn't do extremely well, I don't care, because I still like it. And there's still a huge chunk of people that do. So, you know, I've been doing social media now for maybe like 7 years, and it's kind of like on autopilot for me at this moment. And I don't think about it too much. My new project, the project that I do think about is the Emo Is Not Dead, because I love it that much more than just doing regular videos. But I think, like, you know, for anyone else that's maybe new in the game and you know, having that kind of social media addiction and maybe feeling bummed when they don't get likes, that's normal, but it does change as you get older. It does change, and you kind of just learn to just do what makes you happy. Put out the content that you like, because if you like it, guaranteed somebody else does, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think one of the biggest things I learned from my band doing All Right was how important it is to not care what other people think. Because I used to be mad for giving a shit what my friends thought or whatever, and you know, if they don't like it, I don't like it, and all this stuff. And then over time you just realize that that's like some of the least important stuff, is what other people's opinions are. Just go out and have fun. And yeah, the best times of my life I had when I didn't care what anybody else thought of me.
It's honestly the absolute best. And I will say, like, the larger the audience, the more haters that you'll have or the more negative comments. But like, listen, like, you can't let a few negative comments ruin your day when there's 99% positive content, you know, comments. And I think a lot of people focus on the negative. And like, I will catch myself doing that too, where I'll post a video and I'll scroll through and I'm smiling because all these people are liking it and tagging their friends and, you know, complimenting you. Then you get the one that says, this isn't funny. And why do you let that one comment bum you out? It's like, yo, no matter what, there's going to be those people. So do what makes you happy and the majority of your audience happy, and then don't look back. So I've been doing me. I've been posting videos that I like and what I love, and it's, you know, it's kind of liberating just doing what you want to do.
No, that's really good advice. I think a lot of people do struggle with that kind of separating it as well, like having an off switch from social media, but still use it as the platform it is and the connection it is to everyone.
Yeah, totally. I feel bad for a lot of younger creators. Like, I know a lot of, there's a girl named Lele Pons. She's huge on social media, and I know her from the Vine days, but, you know, I see her get very affected sometimes about these comments. It's like, well, listen, Lele, you have over 20 million followers. Like, you're going to have people say the meanest shit to you. You're going to have, like, no matter if you're that famous, you get death threats. Like, it's pretty ugly what people will do. But you have to keep in mind, you're making 20 million people smile. You're making 20 million people laugh. You know, for me, I'm making 800,000 people smile. And if a hater wants to say something, go ahead. It's not a big deal. You know, you gotta focus on the positive and not the little bit of the negative.
Yeah. No, awesome attitude to have. And yeah, I'm mentioning all the things you like to get your fingers in and be creative with. You and Ariel have just started your own podcast in quarantine as well, Riled Up. How's it been kind of getting into the podcast world and putting out there in such a weird time as well?
Yeah, you know what? I love it. I will say, I like to do it because I like to sit and have a conversation with her and put it out there. Like, no doubt, I like to do it for that. The weird part about it is people listen to podcasts for the most part when they're driving. So we've noticed, our network told us, hey, just so you guys know, we're launching at a very weird time. Are you sure you want to? And we're like, well, why is that? And they said, well, most people on their commute to work or back home listen to their podcasts. So our network's listens are way down. So if you guys launch, don't expect a huge audience. We're like, you know what? Screw it. We want to release this anyway. We're excited about it. And we are. We're excited about it. We love it. And I think people also want things to do in quarantine, even though you might live with a roommate or a spouse. Like, you can have your alone time in your room and listen or put your earbuds in. So like, we're getting a huge feedback. I'm enjoying it. It's kind of fun to just, you know, shoot the shit with a microphone and we have no rules. We just talk about what's on our mind and we have a couple, like a few news topics in front of us that we kind of can go off of. It's really fun.
With all that as well, one question I've got to put in before we wrap up. I need you to answer this as thoroughly as you can. What is your top three emo bands of all time? Or what are the three emo bands that, for you, they are the scene?
Taking Back Sunday.
Correct.
The Used.
Correct. Congratulations.
Taking Back Sunday. There's no doubt my top two are Taking Back Sunday and The Used. Okay. To be honest, like from there it's super tough. Like, it's really hard for me to place a third because I do, oddly enough, I do love My Chemical Romance, but they are later in the game for me. I kind of discovered their whole album later in the game, but like, Under Oath, that's my third. Because Taking Back Sunday and Under Oath were the two bands that I were obsessed with first. Then I discovered The Used after. Those are the three. The Used, nice. Taking Back Sunday, and Under Oath.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. Well, Taking Back Sunday's got to be number one. I mean, they're my personal favorite band of all time. I think they kind of cemented that scene, really.
Well, because they're your favorite band, they now must be the greatest emo band of all time.
Well, yeah. I mean,
all right, then. All right. Wait, you said your favorite band of all time is Jimmy Eat World.
No, on a different podcast. No. I've always said on this podcast that Jimmy Eat World are my second favorite band of all time.
But bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that. I don't believe that.
But Sean, what's Sean? Let's hear yours. I just heard Morgan's. What's yours?
Oh, I'm gonna have to have a look through this 2009 Kerrang, I think. let's have a look. Yeah,
You are wearing a Glassjaw shirt.
Oh,
Sean.
Yeah, Glassjaw. my favourite band of all time ever. I like. Glassjaw. I like a bit of Under Oath. I'm a big fan of Under Oath. The Used. Oh, yeah, I did. So this is crazy. The band, The Blackout, when we started out, we covered Box of Sharp Objects by The Used. And then years later, again, I ended up singing it with The Used. So,
oh, my God. Amazing. Yeah,
it's literally crazy how dreams come true.
Did they come on stage with you or you went on stage with them?
Oh, I went on stage with them. They were doing the song, and they were like, "Oh, we want to invite our friend Sean." I was like, "We're not even that friendly." That's nice.
That's the actual dream, that you sang that song with the Used. You sang one of the most iconic songs. Like, you made it, man. You're an icon.
It's our time to shine.
You're an icon.
Yes. Basically, I started a band just so I could end up singing with other people's bands, it seems. And I've done quite well out of it. So, The Used, Glass Joe, away, post-hardcore / emo. I'm going to go with Take It Back Sunday as well, because bangers all day.
Yeah, bangers all day. I love... Is it Tell All Your Friends? Is that their album?
Yeah, that
album was incredible. I gotta play that after this podcast.
And the amount of stage moves and mic swings I've stolen from Adam is next level. So I owe him that. So if he's listening, sorry.
Just so you know, as soon as we're done with this, before I listen to Tell All Your Friends, I'm gonna go Google the Blackout or YouTube, and I'm gonna watch all your performances. Because I have a feeling if you mimic Adam and his moves, we probably have the same moves.
Oh, right then. I tell you what, when you eventually get over here with Emo's Not Dead, we can have a mic swing off. we'll have a front man off.
Done. It's a deal.
I'm up for it. Thank you so much for doing this.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's one we've been wanting to do for a while, and just please keep it up. Where can people find your stuff online if they want to purchase anything?
You guys can find me on... I'm on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. If you search Matt Cutchell, my first and last name, you can easily find it. And for my emos out there, I know you guys probably have a large emo audience. I sell my merch, Emo's Not Dead merch, on Fanjoy, and my coffee at emosnotdeadcoffee.com. And that's it. Yeah, just, find me on social media, look me up, show me some love. And if you guys are into emo music, I got the cure for it.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Please, hopefully when all this is over and all the pandemic and stuff, you can come to the UK and do some Emo Not Dead stuff as well. That would be fantastic.
I'll absolutely make it happen. I'll see you guys out there. You're
listening to Sammy Morgan! Yes! Fucking tidy.
I thought you were going to do that for the rest of the outro then. Yeah! We've been Something Pod. Check out patreon.com/something.
Yeah,
well, and that would have been it.
I would have done a proper like emo scream, but as you know, Sean, from me singing to you in like car journeys and before we record stuff, I'm not very good at that. So the yeah is probably the best I could do.
What's that got to do? That's my whip up, surely. Yeah, boy.
Anyway, what a wonderful show.
Do you know what? Funnily enough, if we were Public Enemy, I would be Chuck D, and I think you would be Flavor Flav.
Why would Why? Because I'm hanging around with massive clocks all the time.
Yeah. Minus an L. Anyway, thank you again to Internet Funny Man, all-round good guy, Matt Cutchell, for the chat. And we loved it. We loved having him on. It was super good to see him. And just chat all things emo, rock, and slam dunk, which is... a surprise. I was very surprised by that, but awesome.
It was such a pleasure to have on. I was so excited about this. Love the Emo's Not Dead videos. I think they are completely spot on. There's been so many times where I've done stuff like that in car journeys, or just like walk around the shops and having Yellow Card in my ears, or Taking Back Sunday or whatever. So keep her up, Matt. It's outstanding. Thanks again for taking the time, and remember to go and give him a follow, check out all this stuff. And I just can't believe like that brand now. I'm excited to see what's next. There's coffee, there's merch. I mean, if there's a festival, there's own band. It's endless. Emo is the year of 2021.
Emo is the year of 2021.
Exactly. Emo. Put that on the t-shirt.
2021 is the year of emo.
No.
Is that what you mean?
No. What I mean is emo is the year of 2021. I'm going with it. I'm sticking to my guns.
You fucking shouldn't. This is meant to be a professional podcast. Thanks again to Matt. What a lovely chap.
Yeah, outstanding. And if you like to give us your thoughts on this episode and some of his mad stories, then make sure to give us a follow at SapningPod on Twitter and Instagram. Again, Sean, how do you spell that?
That's at SAPPENINPOD.
Yes, send us a message. Let us know what you think the top three emo bands are of all time. I mean, I was very impressed with Matt's answer. Taking Back Sunday is correct. So congratulations to him again for having the top knowledge on that. But I'd be interested to see what everyone else's thoughts are.
My thoughts are, you are lying. Like I mentioned in the thing with Matt, to see Matt's face on Zoom, well, we went into an argument, right, about you saying Take Back Sunday the better, when I know you fucking love Jimmy Eat World, and I'm sure you've told me Jimmy Eat World your favourite band ever, right?
No.
So, to see Matt for a second was like, oh, what's going on here? And then I think he was like, oh, I guess this happens a lot. But yeah, he was very kind. He was very nice. And yeah, he enjoyed the vibe, I think, which means unprofessionalism. He enjoyed the unprofessionalism. But yeah, check us out at SapningPod on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, wherever you listen to this podcast as well, please click that subscribe button. It helps. Give us a rate, a like, a follow, like all those stuff. It really, really does a lot. And tell all your friends, taking back Sunday pun, about us, about our previous episodes, about all the great guests we've had, the laughs, the chaos, the unprofessionalism, and
the deep dark moments, the lovely light moments where we've just pissed ourselves laughing with bands and stuff. Yeah, there's some fantastic moments. So yeah, go back and check out the other 88 episodes. And yeah, like Morgan said, subscribe, rate where possible. It really helps us. And if you can, listen on Acast, because that helps us more as well.
Yeah. Big love to Spotify and, I mean, Apple and everyone else as well, but Acast a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Apple, Spotify.
Right.
Alan Cast is the one. Thank you, Alan Cast.
Right, so before we go on with a little bit more of admin stuff, I do need to bring your attention to something, Sean. You did reveal some exclusive news in that interview that Raiders Band UK will be releasing new music in September. Is there any more comments or you would like to make, or would you like to retract that statement in any way? I mean, the floor is yours to make amends, because I imagine an angry Bob might be in the DMs.
Yeah, I haven't told him, and I'm not 100% sure he listens to the podcast, so we might be safe.
Thanks.
Fuck Bob, and then that's what I say. Anyway, well, hopefully Raiders will have a song out in September. That's pretty much all I can say right now. It's just being mastered. We've got a couple more people to talk to, but then I think we're probably going to self-release. Keep a lookout for that. When there's more news, I promise you I will tell people. But I'm super excited. The songs sound awesome. They're recorded by Todd Campbell, mixed by Stu Richardson. Ooh. And they're being mastered in New York at the moment by a guy called Jesse, who's fantastic.
New York City.
I wouldn't mind having on in the future, because he's written a book explaining to bands the best way to utilise your fan base and stuff. Yeah, I'll get on to that, and then I'll let you know about it. But yeah, so Raiders, sorry, going to business stuff.
Yeah.
So Raiders, might have a track out in September. The song, I think, is going to be called Destructobot. And for anyone who's seen Raiders live, maybe you attended the Funeral for Friends shows, or you were unfortunate to see us in tour in January, February, it's the one that ends with, "Everything has turned to shit." Fuck yeah.
Nice. Awesome. So at least everything's in the works. The clogs are turning. Raiders.
The clogs are turning. The clogs, what? The Dutch shoes are turning, Morg.
As you've probably realized today, speaking isn't fucking hell.
Stroke. Can you smell toast?
I feel like Michael Scott from The Office.
Let me look at your face. All right. No, you're all right. Yeah, you're all right so far. If you smell burn at any point, we stop the podcast immediately.
Okay.
Right.
What? Because the equipment might be on fire.
No, because your brain is on fire. You're having a stroke, Mug. Anyway, what were you trying to say?
I mean, Raiders have things planned. It's all there. It's just finishing up. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, it is.
Good.
Thank God. Thank God for that, yes.
Yeah, because Wasting Away is out, which you can stream now on Spotify and Apple and all those other good music streaming platforms. But I would like some more music in my ears as well, Sean.
Oh, well, there you go. Morgan's fucking ordered it. So Morgan's, he hasn't paid a penny for it and probably won't fucking pay a penny for it, but he wants it, everyone. Morgan Free Music Richards.
Hashtag of the week, that is. But if you're enjoying our little chaos and everything and you want even more updates on Sean's band Raiders, the podcast and everything exclusively first, why not head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. Join our community full of emos and goths and be our new family member.
Yes, join us. Become one of us.
Yeah, it's a good laugh. Everyone has a good chat. Everyone gets on. We're all supporting each other. It's absolutely bang tidy. Get involved. Patreon.com/sapnin.
And if you read the descriptions of these episodes, I hope you do. It takes me a while to write them. There's loads of names in there we need to thank. They all mean the world to us, but we need to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community. Those are the top tiers. Sean's going to read their names out to you right now, but they've probably changed their names, as they always do, to something crazy that will infuriate Sean in about 0.5 seconds.
We'll see you now, yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway. Well done to the Honourable Mo Degrees in becoming a real journalistic now. Mitch Perry, Amy Chilvers, Emma Barber, Amadine Urbana, I, Sean Smith, actually am not annoyed at Morgan for his first class honours degree, Dana Lasnova, Nathan Croshaw, Sapnin Podcast with the Honourable Mo Dick featuring Sean Smith, first class honours, Charles Mo Dickens, Waco Ya Tanke, Dances with Eyebrows, Tom Owen, Wilma Fingerdo, Liam Connolly, Drew Styles, Kelly Owen, Michael Engler, the Maxin Dancing Champion Campion, Kate Puttack, went looking for a funny name, but all I got was this lousy t-shirt. The Honourable Mo Dick Richards, first of his name, the most journalistic man there is, _. Simon Amos, big up, first class honours, Mo Dickinson Esquire, Kate Stevenson, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Erin Howard, Kelly says, congrats Mo Degree, soz no degree. Oh, I think she's on about me. Becky Andy, Marcy Jacobson, Louis Cook, Sarah Stewart, first class Mo Dick and no degree S. Here we go then. Sandra Kuacek, Nuala Clark, Mike Cunningham, Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, Kelly Emma Cannon, Stuart McNaught, Sharif Awadali, Jenny Robertson, Tony Michael, Lydia Henderson, and last but no means least, the mighty Samuel Griffiths. Thank you very much to every single one of those people, including the people who are bullying me for having a degree. But just remember, I've done more in a night than you've done in your life.
Is that aimed at me or is that aimed at them?
No, these bastards. Oh, okay, good. Oh, yeah, I've got a degree. Oh, I've travelled the fucking world.
But thank you, everyone. We love you very, very much. If you're not a part of our Patreon family, why not go and check out our patreon.com/sapnin? And yeah, but even though I do have a degree, Sean, as you could tell from this episode, speaking, I've still not mastered yet.
No, definitely not. And the thing is, you've been doing speaking longer than you did your degree.
Yeah, I've been speaking for like 24 years. Well, I don't know. Nah, no, I wasn't speaking when I was two, was I? When I don't know. When did you... That's a good question. When do you normally speak? When do you...
when fucking spoken to... Can we finish this? I don't want to get into when I started speaking. This isn't about me growing up and when you learned to speak, which sounds like about 3 weeks ago.
That's a good thought. Anyway, yeah. Is there anything else you want to mention before we go, Sean?
No. Sorry to any English people that I might have offended with my slightly anti-English rant during the podcast when Matt thought we were both English. That's all.
We're just proud Welshmen, and we're sorry if you're English. I know you can't help it, but we still love you.
We have definitely got rid of all of our Patreon today by the shit we've just said. Let's stop now before we fucking run out of everybody.
Okay, I love you, everyone. Love you. Bye. Thank you for everything. Thank you.
Ta-da, everyone. Ta-da, everyone. Bye.
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.